A Story Publishing presents Static Shadows. In 1992's Timișoara, Mark kept his storefront windows dirty on purpose. The glass held a drowsy coat of grime inherited from the last regime. That film blurred the view inward to passersby, who glimpsed only shadows cluttered with battered radios and limping VCRs, signs of an age that refused to vanish. Above, a once red sign now chipped itself into oblivion. Mark's repair. So the shop played its role. Nothing to warrant lingering attention. On a dribbling winter afternoon, Mark sat hunched at his bench, coaxing fractured life back into a Sony Walkman. The scent of solder wandered through stagnant air, mingled with the wheeze of static from a squat shortwave perched near the window. Police frequencies chattered faintly. Habit kept his ears sharp, though never eased. Mid-solder, a strange call sign tangled up in the code chatter and dropped away just as quick. Mark froze, hand aloft, iron trailing a soft thread. "Another new voice," he muttered, the words directionless, drowned by the faint hiss. He fiddled with the tuner, but the unknown chatter had gone. Silence pressed back from the little set, hollow and stubborn. His hands returned to the Walkman, fingers deft with routines learned far away, cracked highways humming under rubber, jazz unfolding from a grime-tracked dash. It always crept in at this hour, that ache for home. For something cleanly finished. He boxed it up and bent over the circuit again. The door gave its habitual squeal. A boy ducked in, red-cheeked, burdened by a stuffed satchel and an oversized circuit board cradled under his arm. Danny, Mark's only exception. "I finished it," Danny breathed, holding out the contraption with both hands. "The mesh node. It's working now. We could run signals all the way down the block, maybe further." "Keep your voice down." Mark set aside the cassette gently, steady but dry. "You want the block listening?" Danny grinned, energy leaking through his caution. "Come on, it's clean. We could bounce notes or..." Mark curled a finger toward the bench, eyes hard. "You want men in blacked-out cars loitering outside?" He took the board, examining its raw joints. "You're too damn bright for this city," Danny shrugged, dropping onto the stool he alone could claim. "You always say that. It's not foolish to want things to work better. It's foolish to believe someone isn't already listening." Mark angled the board back and handed it off, his look edged but not unkind. "You want progress. Finish school." Danny started to protest, hesitated, then let it drop, knuckles whitening on the strap. "Could you help with the code later?" "In time." Mark's eyes flitted to the shortwave, where the static waded back to monotony. "No more open tests. Not now." Relenting, Danny slid his invention under his jacket, then produced an envelope from his pocket. "And thanks for the cassette last time. The stand gets one. Brought it back, but your address, it's American, right?" Mark's face stilled. Long story. Plenty of Americans take a wrong turn. That was all. Lock up when you go. Danny nodded, sliding out the door, leaving Mark staring through greasy glass, fingers tightening unconsciously around that ghost of home. Behind the shop, past a forest of old receipts and splintered particle board, Mark's true workshop crouched. Here, between crates and wire snarls, he soldered and unsoldered the pieces of a clandestine life. Drones, ugly, jury-rigged machines, weighted in frames of scavenged alloy. Each project was stitched together with patience and an edge of clandestine dread, Mark wondering how many more tweaks the agency would demand, how many more months until the back channel whispered, "Finished, go home." He set Stan Getz spinning on a battered cassette deck, the music barely holding the edge off memory. As he worked through calibrations, the melody looped backward in time. Florida bars, courage warm with beer, missions that seemed to promise return tickets. Now exile, days blurry with watching, nights narrower and narrower. He worked late, lost in variables and faint hope, until dusk peeled away the last excuses to linger. Closing time. He gathered himself by the door, twilight bled outside, neon curling off beer hall awnings, and the air too cold for comfort. Mark locked up, feeling the city's hush bristle, Timișoara sprawled out damp and stubborn, its wounds camouflaged with noisy new color. He threaded the shuttered arcades, past laughing students and men smoking beneath overhangs, scanning faces, scanning the darkness for flickers of pursuit. He noticed a dull car idling near the crosswalk. Light pooled around it, yellow and anonymous, yet Mark marked its stillness, a tick picked up since the agency years. Above a shuttered bookstore in a windowless box of a room, he secured doors, drew musty curtains, and consulted his makeshift frequency scanner for signs of tampering. Nothing. He let out a low breath, less relief than postponement. On his battered couch, he pressed play. Jazz circled the silence, frayed warm notes eked from old plastic. He listened for a while, lost in the mirage of another life. Backyard sunlight, a dog nosing at his heel, voices easy and familiar. But every echo faded gray. The agency never let him keep souvenirs. When sleep finally came, it was shallow, jittery. Any footstep in the hall kept him close to waking. Dawn limped in, cloudy and indifferent. Mark made coffee, scalded hope, forced himself out. Shop lights on, repair gear arrayed, he melted into routine. Radios, VCRs, grumbling neighbors haggling over prices. No word from the agency, no knock at the glass. Routine, sharp-edged and emptying. Mid-morning, Danny slipped in again, trailing an old spool of wire, sheepish. "If we use twisted pairs, the network's stable," he whispered. Excitement bled through restraint. "You sure you won't look?" Mark's eyes flicked to two old men inspecting pamphlets at the counter. "Back." In the partitioned gloom, he lowered his voice further. "You're playing with trouble. Unlicensed broadcast is more than a slap on the wrist." Danny just rolled a shoulder. "Everything's in flux. People need to talk." Mark held his gaze. "If you hear trouble, you come straight to me. No games. You're always cautious. I earned it." The boy's bright hunger pinched something under Mark's ribs. The day staggered on. Sun tracked across junked hardware, jazz brushed against the static, and the unknown call sign flickered on the radio just once, an aftertaste of warning before routine noise resumed. Mark forced himself to focus on repairs, but tension braided through his nerves. Dusk. Timisoara slicked down in drizzle. Mark's world contracted to low neon and the shuffle of bodies dodging puddles. Shop closed, he moved east toward Freedom Square, shoulders hunched, breath steaming. Vendors fidgeted under awnings, torches guttered in the wind. Every passing face was both familiar and strange. Halfway down the block, his pager jerked him alert. Once, he ignored it. Again, insistent. Under a watery lamp, he fished out the device. Faint green text scrolled across. Burn notice. Exfil immediately. Rain dimpled the glass. A second code blinked. A match, irrefutably agency. All air left his lungs. Survival reflex reared, no time for contemplation. He pivoted back, feet slapping through rain. Needed the go-bag, nothing more than 30 seconds. The shop stared at him like a gutted shell. He slipped in, lights off, swept behind the counter. Go-bag, data tapes, a pistol, documents. He forced himself steady, hands tremoring as he checked the kit. Stan Getz's cassette glinted from inside. He pocketed it mechanically. Something absurdly precious now. Street again. City spinning at the edges. Wet, streaked with light, full of old ghosts. He pushed into the gathering crowd near Freedom Square. The plan, disappear among umbrellas, double back across the canal. Pavement flushed red with police lights. Sirens bled out under the rain. He lowered his head, hood catching the worst of the water. The unknown voice on the shortwave, the idling car, threads converging. He felt in that split second how exposed every lie had become. Near the plaza, his pager vibrated again. Another message, curt, final. Burn notice. Security compromised. In the swirl of umbrellas and cold neon, Mark tightened his grip on the bag. Two officers by a parked car scanned the flow, voices clipped over handheld radios. One used his call sign aloud, flat and unmistakable. The net, closing. He drew a breath, then ran. Shoulder first through a gap in the crowd, water sheeting past his boots. Curses spat at his back. Sirens writhed through the rain, a loudspeaker barked somewhere behind him. Mark didn't look back. He bore forward, breath raw, adrenaline crowding out everything else. Freedom Square spun out unmoored as the city's old life sloughed away behind him, piece by piece, and the chase narrowed to this. Keep moving, vanish, or lose everything. Mark skidded past a clutch of market stalls, ankles splashing through oily puddles, lungs burning with each jagged breath. Flickering bulbs overhead painted the drizzle jaundiced yellow. Vendors cursed as he dodged a toppled crate of potatoes and veered behind a stone column. The crowd wheeled in slow confusion, startled faces catching brief sight of his flight before resuming their evening shuffle. Behind him, bootsteps over wet cobblestone, radios crackling, voices blurred by the echo bouncing off the square. Mark risked a glance. Two men in the sheen of raincoats advanced with the coiled precision of hunters more than bureaucrats. The square itself offered no kindness. Monuments, benches, harsh light throwing hard-edged shadows. He gripped the go-bag tighter, mind-firing escape routes into the dead ends of the city. The trap was nearly sprung. He forced his legs forward. Sirens bloomed out along the perimeter. To the east, a battered tram screeched into view. Mark cut across the rails, heedless of the motorman's furious shout. Passengers pressed themselves to the glass as he stumbled across the track, pain flaring sharp in his shoulder, refusing to slow. Down a side street, whistles split the air, authority closing fast. Rain sliced at his face. He slid behind a kiosk, forcing his shaking hands into a damp coat. The pager burned cold against his hip, agency message unblinking burn notice. The strangled taste of betrayal settled in his chest. Experience whispered there'd be no appeal. A shadow loomed. Mark tensed, then clocked Danny's hunched silhouette, wild-eyed under a broken street lamp. "They've blocked off the south exit," Danny gasped, chest tight. "I cut through the alleys, saw them post near the bus station." "You shouldn't be here," Mark growled low. Danny clutched a battered transceiver, droplets tracking down the scratched metal. "I heard their comms. They're everywhere. Militia, but too coordinated. You can't shake them solo." "Alone keeps me alive." Mark pressed a hard hand to Danny's shoulder. "Next alley west. Don't look back." A voice thundered round the corner, guttural, calling Mark's code name, unmistakable even as rain blurred the edge. "Not a suggestion," Mark snapped. "Go!" Arguments ran across Danny's face, but he obeyed, shoulders folding as he bolted into the gloom. Mark scanned for options. The worn kiosk behind him housed a trio of ancient phone boxes. He ducked in, slammed the door, dialed the lone agency number left to him. Silence, then nothing at all. The emergency line, likewise, dead. The line had been cut, root and branch. He slammed the receiver down and stalked out, forced calm over rising panic. Around the corner, a policeman emerged, beady eyes and baton ready. Another, broader man half a step behind, body tensed for pursuit. Mark was running before thought caught up. Off the curb, past a shuttered cafe, shouted orders chasing him through the slick air. He ducked under an awning, nearly colliding with a wiry woman stacking crates. She pivoted, hair slicked to her cheek, assessing him with a calm that betrayed a practiced read of panic. For a heartbeat, neither spoke. Then, with a quick shake of her head, she thrust aside a fraying tarp and gestured at a barely propped basement door. "Here," she hissed. "Old compressor room. Nobody checks." Mark placed her accent first, vaguely local but clipped, a hint of the Roma Quarter, perhaps. He hesitated, then slid past her into the gloom. She yanked the door shut, both holding breath as footsteps hammered overhead. The air reeked of mildew and oil. Old chemicals pooled beneath sagging pipes. Above, voices barked orders, boots scraping concrete. Mark's heart hammered with each syllable from outside. A grinding minute, then at last the rush of patrol boots faded. She exhaled, finally. "You keep running like that, you'll earn a bullet. I'll take my odds." His voice was raw, defensive. She arched an eyebrow. "That bluff serve you so well, Mr. American?" Her tone was wry, not unkind. "You want out of Timișoara. You need someone who knows the holes under the city, not just the corners." He bristled. "Who are you?" "Ilinka. You patch drones for the agency. I patch holes for people who don't want to be found. Mutual acquaintances told me you might need help." That chill of exposure ran down his back. "No easy fix here." She leaned near. "You want your chance. Take it, or go argue with black-suited dogs and their foreign guests." He listened, the search intensity outside, the organized sweep. Not just local heat, pros. "Fine," he said, "but I'm not your problem." "Not yet," she murmured. Outside, a break, stillness, then the lurch back into mist. Upstairs, the district simmered, vehicles rumbling, headlamps threading restless lines along the alleys. Ilinka jerked her chin. They slipped through a fissure between boarded buildings, green water trickling from leaky gutters. Twice they pressed flat as men in black swept past, flashlight beams slicing through swaying weeds. Behind a rusted garage, Ilinka stopped, voice dropped. "Your agency lines, they're all cut, right?" He fixed her with a sidelong glance. "You've got too many answers." She only shrugged. "I know how to vanish. If you want in, drop the suspicion and follow." He hesitated, a habit scar deep, but the men hounding him weren't amateurs. He gestured, "After you." A sharp whistle, then Danny limped from the shadows, breathless. Ilinka tensed, but Mark shook his head. "Okay, Danny was soaked, words tumbling. You can't stay in the open. They're everywhere. Use the canal footbridge now or you're caged. Alinka's glance was sharp. He's yours? Mark nodded. He's a friend. Go, Danny, now. Danny's face fell, but the icy edge in Mark's voice was final. Alinka echoed it. Move, kid. We'll manage. He hesitated, a thread of hope or something closer to dread, then dissolved into rain. Quiet pooled between Mark and Alinka. Let's go, she said. They threaded through fleshless alleys, city giving way to industrial wasteland. Warehouses rose, gray graffiti curling like vines. At last, a squat factory hulking under rain, its roof caved, windows punched out by stones or time. A battered exterior stair spiraled to the upper floor. Alinka's steps were quick, deliberate, as she led up the groaning metal stairs. Through a warped door, they entered a space stripped bare. Ancient machinery, hunched shapes in the dark. Wind whispered through busted panes, carrying echoes. Not warm, not safe, she offered, but invisible. Mark glanced around, eye cataloging entryways, shadows. Speak, invisible do. She wiped damp hair off her brow. Rats don't ask questions. He hauled his go bag onto an upturned bin, pulled his short-range transmitter, tried another agency frequency, dead. Last fallback, obscure route, never tested. All static. We're cut off, he muttered. Alinka's lips twisted, cynical. So now it's you and me, he managed a grim smile. If I can get power, I'll rig a drone, view the block, see if my apartment's still standing. Maybe we salvage something. She gave the lie a glance, but didn't call it out. Fuse box, back wall, don't fry us. He moved deftly. The process was familiar. Battered aluminum frame, repurposed lens, clumsy broadcast chip. He'd worked with less in sunburned garages back in the States. Another life, all sharp light and cheap music. Now the stakes pressed at his back. Minutes ticked out in the rasp of rain and humming wires. Drone prepped, power brought up. A squat, ugly thing, but functional. Alinka hovered at his shoulder. He flicked the rotor, set it on concrete. Roof, best shot, he said. She nodded, and they clambered up a rusted ladder, wet wind whipping at their faces. On the roof, city sprawled out. Dark water, distant neon, the shimmer of police lights bleeding into cloud. Keep your head down, Alinka murmured. Birds'll be up there with scopes. Mark Crouch checked the feed. The first image, lopsided rooftops, then the familiar box of his apartment 2 blocks west. He feathered the joystick. There, black cars jammed up against the entrance, men lit by bitter sodium lamps, one with a canister in hand. Too late, Mark said, voice iron flat. Fire blossomed inside the window, smoke rolled up from the stairwell, yellow light pulsing. Then the frame lurched in the feed. A blast! The building's bones twisting as orange swallowed the block. Alinka drew in a sharp breath. They're not searching. They're scrubbing the whole damn trace. A final thumping echo jostled the drone's video. A column of sparks, the men hurrying clear, embers raining on the street, then signal static, the city eaten by interference. Mark braced for anger. Instead, a harsh, steady nothing spread inside him. Years pruned into a handful of ashes. Helicopter rotors thumped above, the pitch rising as searchlights knifed over the factory row. Alinka went still, spine tight. Here we go, she said, barely a whisper. Mark killed the feed, angled the drone west with a stabbing series of commands. They'll chase after it! Maybe that buys time! The searchlight crept past, slid across gutted walls. Mark pressed himself flush against a vent, rain freezing down his collar. He left the useless radio tucked behind rusted pipework. Alinka crouched beside him, gaze fixed on the wandering beam. A burst of light spilled through the bottom floor, figures entering, heavy boots on metal stairs. Mark's hand went to his pistol, the old reflex undimmed. Alinka was close enough for her breath to fog against his sleeve, voice low. If they saw the launch... The loudspeaker crackled overhead, urgent, guttural. The searchlight widened until it bleached half the rooftop. Mark tensed as it crawled closer, the sharp certainty of being prey. There was no time to weigh odds. He met Alinka's eyes, a silent question. Surrender. Unlikely mercy, or run and vanish. The helicopter roared, engine screaming, beam blinding as it swept for their position. Mark gripped Alinka's sleeve. Move. Now. They dove for the battered door, the sky behind them lit violent white. Below, the factory seethed with strangers. Above, nothing but burning light. There was no going back. Below, the factory seethed with nameless figures threading between the hulks of dead machines. The helicopter's glare scoured the roof, probing for the first hint of movement, while Mark clamped his grip on the warped door handle. He met Alinka's eye, a silent contract, and together they drove into the corridor's stale dark. They found themselves suspended above a junkyard of assembly lines, a catwalk rattling underfoot. Rungs and scaffolds bristled at ragged angles, years of abuse leaving the metal flaking and treacherous. Each step sounded louder than mortar fire. Above, the engine thundered while arcs of searchlight seared the dripping walls. A voice blared over the loudspeaker outside, urgency crackling, direction hidden by static and wind. Mark's thumb instinctively found the pistol at his waist, but logic pressed cold. Against floodlights, ARs, and the whir of blades, yet bravado would only buy seconds. Alinka gestured toward a slanting scaffold, all corroded rails and gaps yawning into shadow. Mark forced a measured breath. It looked suicidal, one busted joint from a 20-foot tumble, but no other route beckoned. He vaulted the railing, boots landing on groaning metal. The scaffold shivered but held. Overhead, daylight exploded briefly across the north wall as the searchlight swept close enough for his skin to prickle. Slow. Alinka steadied his back with one gloved hand. Careful counts. Don't skip. Her voice was low, the tone of someone who'd seen a night like this before. Mark moved as she ordered, memory flashing to a collapsed walkway outside Maracaibo, leg twisted, the hot iron taste of panic. But now there was no time for old wounds. He climbed after her as if his life were a secret he hoped to sneak past fate. Beneath them, flashlights split the dark, black-clad men circled, voices ordering sweeps and backup, beams raking the scaffold's bones. Mark caught snatches, roof breach, drone launch, the lexicon of methodical pursuit. If the lamps angled even a meter higher, they'd be cut in the open, actors caught on a silent stage. At last, the trembling scaffold kissed a ladder. Alinka dropped first, boots muffled by a drift of old sawdust. She crouched behind a sprawl of pallets. Mark joined her. Every muscle coiled for the next sprint. The loading bay gaped beyond, a mouth formed of shadow and slick concrete. He strained to listen. The rhythm of boots, the sweep of light. The perimeter outside was predictable. It was the inner ring that worried him. The city's outskirts weren't a maze, just fields of mud and steel, watched from every angle. The wrong move and those beams would carve truth out of shade. Alinka caught his sleeve, nodding to a side corridor behind an abandoned forklift. They moved, steps ghosted, hearts thudding. A battered metal door yawned open. Beyond it, night seeped in, brined with the odor of diesel and wet earth. They slipped through. At first, nothing, just a derelict yard, pale puddles slicking the blacktop. Then, as Mark's nerves began to unclench, the helicopter's eye washed over, flattening every shadow. Alinka tumbled against a low barrier, breath held. Mark pressed in, scanning the yard. She pointed. Chain-link fence, half-collapsed, lay beyond a run of crates. Past that, skeletal trees and a ribbon of road. The searchlight drew away, one heartbeat of night. They bolted for the crates, feet slapping gravel, adrenaline overriding fatigue. At the fence, Alinka tore a jagged gap open with her sleeve, snarling when it snagged. Mark pried it free, muttering American curses neither of them had time to parse. Then they squeezed through, scraping skin and cloth, and spilled onto the blacked-out street. The side road was merciful, broken only by wan light puddled under distant lamps. They crabbed along the curb, crawling where cover thinned, until the factory was a silhouette. Helicopter engines receded, lights swinging east, tricked by Mark's busted drone, perhaps, or just chasing ghosts. For a handful of breaths, Mark and Alinka moved as rumor, unnoticed. "Now what?" Alinka's voice had calmed, iron threading the exhaustion. "I can't keep running blind," Mark admitted, pressing a hand to the ache in his ribs. "We need somewhere the city won't follow." She scanned the horizon. "North. If you know Radu's church, it's our best shot. The priest keeps his head and his mouth shut so far." A quick smile, half bitter. "He owes me more than a blessing." Rumor said Radu's door opened to fugitives and traitors alike, provided their debts were paid. Truth weighed in the bargain. Mark nodded. A gamble, but no alternative worth the breath. They kept low, ribs humming with strain, cutting across wastelands studded with crumbling garages and sagging fences. Twice they dove for shadows as military jeeps crawled by, headlights brushing walls like searchers' hands. The world shrank to alleys in cold, breath, and the slowly brightening spire ahead. Radu's church perched behind a wild tangle of grass and a gate held together by memory. Candlelight bled through warped glass. As Alinka raised her fist, the door swung open of its own accord, a priest in threadbare black, eyes bright from sleepless keeping. "Inside," he beckoned, urgency gentled by habit. "This street hears more than prayer." Within, the church felt smaller than it looked. A dozen rank pews, icon faces eroded by decades of flame and grit. Radu secured the bolt, then gave Alinka a nod, familiar but not warm. "So here we are," he said, voice pitched for secrecy. "I heard plenty out there tonight. When Timișoara hums like this, someone's betrayed someone else." Alinka let her coat puddle onto the stone floor, harsh breath catching on the edge of what might have been a laugh. "Sanctuary, father!" After that, recommendations. Radu's gaze swung to Mark, weighing, nationality, guilt, bone weariness, all readable in the line of his jaw. "You American, yes?" Mark kept his hands visible, his voice stripped to the shape of need. "Only in the worst ways tonight." The priest steered them through an arch to a cramped room with a battered stove. Thin warmth quivered there, cigarette and wax. He passed towels, then wet woolen blankets, eyeing Mark as if he could weigh sins by their shadows. "I give shelter, but I do not lie. Once the door's shut, your pursuers won't care much for holy ground." He settled onto a folding chair, chin in hand, watching the way Mark rolled tension through his neck. Alinka gave Mark a sidelong glance. "He's right. You want absolution, or you want sleep?" "I want to remember who I am in someone else's language," Mark said, then winced at how much the words revealed. Radu folded his hands, unbothered by confession's incomplete grammar. "Kneel, if you will, or just talk. My calling is to witness." Mark stood silent for a breath, then sank to the edge of a bench, head bowed more from exhaustion than faith. "I came here. American. Agency. Asset." He glanced up, no flicker of surprise from Radu. "The file says burned. I gather it means expendable if you read between the lines." Radu nodded. "You feel guilt for surviving." "I feel trapped in someone else's lie and damned for surviving what I was told was service." The priest's reply was almost a murmur. "The city chews truth into fragments. If you can live with fragments, do so. If not, pick one and learn its weight." A pause stretched, made heavier by candle smoke and the ticking of unseen pipes. Alinka hovered at the threshold, pulling her coat close as if bracing for an argument she had not yet decided to start. Radu cleared his throat. "Before you flee, there's a ledger. Old debts, promises, perhaps leverage. Alinka entrusted it here. A habit for those with dangerous stories. Maybe it's time you read what's owed." He produced a battered folder from beneath the altar, passing it across the table. Mark opened it with numb hands, eyes catching on ciphers and red-inked names. Cartographer, border schedules, old agency codes, the margins crawling with corrections. Alinka leaned in, scanning, lips compressed. "He's real," Mark said. "Cartographer. I always thought it was a myth to keep us paranoid, but the details, bounties, code shifts. Someone built a system for burning people clean out of the record." Radu watched him, not judging, not pitying, only present. "That page at the back, Alinka asked that I burn it should the wrong people ever arrive. It notes who in your own agency made the call." Alinka's eyes cut to the page, then to Radu. Words didn't pass, but something settled between them, a balance of anger and gratitude. Outside, a car revved down the empty cross streets. Mark's nerves shrilled. Radu rose, retrieving a bundle from the hearth, bread, cheese, a dripping canteen. He pressed it into Alinka's hands. "I give all I can. Don't darken my door with soldiers. If you come back, come alone or not at all." She nodded, voice rough. "Thank you, Father." Mark's parting glance held the line between apology and respect. Then they slipped into night, chased by no prayers. They threaded behind the churchyard, orchards skeletal against clouded sky. Sirens knifed through the city, distant, then faded, as if the hunt had shifted. After a time, crawling over ruts and roots, they reached a thin road snaking toward the rail yards. A shape detached from darkness, a voice clipped, urgent. "It's me." Danny stepped into a wedge of moonlight, face drawn but determined. Mark nearly rebuked him, but fatigue stole the bite. "You should be home." Danny shook his head. "The air's alive with codes. Everything's moving. There's a freight leaving at midnight, headed for the Banat Plain. Police are busy at the main terminals. An ammonia spill or maybe a setup. If you catch the tail, you'll have one shot before they close the net. I can keep you clear of patrols." Mark's look to Alinka was spent caution, empty of options. She shrugged. He's savvy and stubborn. Let's move. They slid through the rail district, senses stretched tight, crates stacked crooked, lanterns winking from marshalling shacks, half-seen men smoking, turned away by secrecy or apathy. Danny tuned his patchwork radio, whispering, Freight's track 4. Engineers killing time. Passenger car behind the coal wagons, unused probably. They don't expect any warm bodies. A yardman paced the line, lantern swinging. Ilinka counted his steps, lips moving silently. Mark watched for the pattern to loop, a superstitious ritual, comfort against odds. The moment the watcher circled away, Danny signaled, and they slipped across open ground, boots drumming against iron. A freight wagon's chained door surrendered to Danny's pry bar. The sound was loud only to those who feared it. They squeezed through, the blackness inside ripe with straw and grease, the world reduced to rough walls and the scent of rusted steel. Danny tuned the radio, static, breaking up open frequency. Train's set to roll in minutes. I'll ghost once you're gone. You'll have my ears till the edge of town. After that, keep low. Border patrols tried out new drones last week. Smarter sensors. Worse luck. Mark gripped his shoulder, a gesture more father than handler, and let go before the moment could sting. Danny's silhouette bobbed at the threshold. Check frequencies every half hour, and good luck. He slipped down, vanishing into the gray. The boxcar lurched as the engine snagged life, coupling echoes running the length of the line. Ilinka braced herself in the gloom, scanning the vents, face set. Mark pressed his palm to the battered folder in his jacket. A useless talisman, maybe, but the last map left to him. He watched as Timișoara's ruined horizon slid past in the moon-paled dark. Fog hugged the rails, the city already fading to myth behind them. In strips of silver, the land rolled into fields, then into hush. Mark let the train's heartbeat drown out regret and resolve alike, and made room, finally, for nothing but motion. For the first hour, the train pressed east across the Banat Plain, each jolt rattling the tight metal womb of the boxcar. Mark sat on a crate, Ilinka hunched near the narrow door, clipped wind biting in, laced with coal and damp earth. Neither indulged in talk. Words seemed brittle in the long thread of pursuit. Every rattle promised the abrupt shriek of sirens, the glare of headlights, but the countryside crouched in a hush. Relief offered no assurance. Silence, for now, was just a blank. When the drone's murmur found them, it came thin as nerves, more a vibration in the steel than a sound, winding higher into a hornet whine. Ilinka tensed, scanning the grayed horizon. Mark shifted to the door, looping one wrist around a cold strut to anchor himself, gaze tilting upward. Thermal sweeps, he muttered, mouth taut. They'll scan each car for body heat. She didn't flinch. Can you mask us? He dug through his battered bag, dragging out a cheap plastic laptop, its surface worn by years in field, half held together by tape and locked routines. If I get this transmitter up on the engine bay, maybe piggyback a hot patch, blur our heat with the exhaust. A pause. But it's ugly guesswork. They squeezed past jostled crates, moving toward the rumbling bulkhead leading to the engine. Wind and smoke stung their throats. Oil shimmered underfoot. Joints popping, Mark worked the laptop to life. Give me a minute and a meter, he said. Ilinka crouched, eyes narrow, one ear tipped to the sky. Above, the drone's tone grew anxious. Tasting. Deciding. Mark hooked a wire through a vent, keyed in a flickering line of code, transmitter pulsing in uneasy rhythm. He muttered, more to himself. Cartographer's fieldwork, agency gear with private reach. The transmitter chirped, then held. The drone's howl circled, dipped, stuttered overhead, prowling for contradiction. But the false heat bled into the engine's own fever, and after a fraught minute, the buzz wavered, then drifted off, hungry but uncertain. Ilinka exhaled, jaw slackened just a hair. That'll buy us what, an hour? If we're lucky. Mark let his muscles ease for seconds only. We're dry on second chances. No sooner had tension ebbed than the train shuddered, brakes screaming against inertia, cars rattling with metallic complaint. Ilinka snapped upright. That's not scheduled. Mark's hands were already on his pistol, features sharpening. Unmarked siding, midfield, no station. Not random. Freight hissed to stasis, the engine coughing. Darkness beyond, then a flashlight swept past, slicing one car after another. Ilinka's hand flicked inside her jacket, returning with a compact SMG, metal caked in memory and rough nights. He met her eyes, a question. She didn't blink. Favors owed. Watch yourself. Footsteps in the gravel, A crowbar wedged under the boxcar's seam, prying the door. Mark saw the moment's window, a flash of surprise before violence. He squeezed off a shot, ricochet slamming metal. The crowbar clattered away, curses spiraling in the dark, flashlight beams staggered. Gunfire laced the car, bullets wickering through old wood. Alinka hugged the floor, cool and precise. Her weapon stuttered fire through the crack. A round punched past Mark's ear, splinters hot. Outside, more boots, sharp commands, closure. Pinned, Mark pressed for the only exit. He braced his feet, rammed the door. The man outside stumbled, grip slipping. Mark surged forward, shoulder catching soft flesh, another shot splitting the air. He fired reflexively, the figure dropped, pain, not dead, but silence enough. Alinka leapt down after, mud sucking at boots. They scrambled behind a collapsed pen, barn wall reeking of rot and mildew. Gunfire spat from both sides, wood shivering under impact. Mark pressed one hand to his ribs, heat, wetness, iron bitter. "Caught one," he gasped. Ilinka's face darkened. "How bad?" "Doesn't matter." He glanced at the orchard, empty, ghosts and gnarled limbs. A pop of static rasped from his jacket. Danny's voice, small, tinny, fought through the clutter. "Ear me? Jam in 3, 2. A crackling wave seared across the field. Somewhere out there, headsets and radios blinked out. Confusion cracked the assault, a chorus of curses and fumbled directives. Alinka found a breath to grin. "That kid's a magician. Let's hope he buys time." Mark staggered to his feet. They ran, darted past blown fencing, gunfire dissolving behind them, boots slipping, hearts hammering. Mud and fallen fruit smeared their path. Orchard gave onto an old lane crowded by two hunched structures, barn and shack, both hulled by age. Mark sagged against cement, blood seeping under his shirt. Alinka hauled him down, urgent hands already searching for the wound. He wanted to resist. Too much time, too much risk, but yielded, letting her bind the side. "Clean break," she muttered, making rough work clean. "Through flesh, not bone. Still, pray you don't run dry." He tried for dry humor, failed. "Not much praying left in me." Her hands lingered, but her eyes were elsewhere. Calculating farther distances, she kept her voice pitched low. "That ledger, my leverage too, not just a deliverer. I trade its contents for a ledger clean, you for an alibi, me for erasure." Mark met her gaze, neither accusing nor forgiving. "Everyone needs an out." She finished, pressed her palm flat to his ribs. "It's messy, but it holds. Move." They limped on. Hills rose, woods twisted, puddles forcing detour. Once, shadows in the ditch, dogs or watchers, but no engagement came. The world contracted to breath, step, and ache. An hour later, Danny's voice again cut in, faint but urgent. "They're sweeping all roads. Best route. Up the ridge. Cable car lift. My node's up, but you'll need to stay close to my frequency. I can mask for a stretch. Not forever." Alinka's glance to Mark said she knew the gamble. "Up, not out. Mountain, not border. We go. Only choice." Mud gave way to rock and needled pine, a broken sign gesturing toward twisted chalets and the old ski station. They skirted through sagging beams, found the faint shelter of an overturned crate and warped plywood, bracing against mounting wind. Sleet stung cheeks. In the half-collapsed lift station, Alinka pressed Mark to wood, checked the wound, laid a fresh bandage with unwavering hands. Mark tasted liquor from her flask, burned away pain, steadied focus. Through battered glass, steel cables vanished into black, chairs swinging like relics to lost seasons. Danny's static-choked voice flickered alive. "Storm rolling in. Their trucks will climb the pass, but not easy. I'll keep the net loose a little longer. Don't trust too many transmissions. Every burst's a flag." The receiver faded. Alinka crouched beside Mark, sipping from the flask, gaze fixed on darkness. "You think the ledger's protection? Or just a slow fuse?" He held it to his chest, felt its unwelcome promise. Maybe both. Maybe a little revenge, or maybe just a last bargaining chip if it comes to that. She accepted this, silent. Blood pulsed warm under Mark's arm. Fatigue gnawed his sense of time. Every gust slammed the rotting station, wind clawing desperate at their thin bulwark. Alinka worked through the cold by building makeshift barriers, detritus angled against the gale. When Mark's eyes met hers, bruised, worn, but unbroken. The flicker between them was neither hope nor despair, just a simpler resolution. Together was the only way through. At intervals, engines grumbled down in the dark, headlights bobbing on switchbacks, but the mountain above refrained from answer. their night contracted to faint flashlight arcs, lightning-gutted sky, and the subtle weight of company, not quite trusted but no longer strange. Pain ebbed to a slow throb, the ledger pressed persistent under Mark's elbow, like a fragment of unfinished history. Somewhere before dawn, a lull. Lightning limbed Alinka's face, all planes and fatigue, but something softer, too, a thread of childhood that hadn't paneled over. "We'll try the cables at first light," she said. "If they hold, we cross. If not..." He finished for her. "We improvise." She settled beside him, shoulder brushing his, both huddled beneath a battered crate that creaked like old regrets. Beyond, the mountain's shoulder loomed. The lift's cables ran toward a hope no sane plan would promise. The storm built. The wind howled around concrete and steel, sleet-stinging faces, barrier sighing with each onslaught. They watched the night press tighter, knowing full well that morning would only trade unknown night for exposed climb, every step on the cable a wager against the men climbing from the darkness below. Mark's eyelids shuddered, pain and exhaustion finally outpacing vigilance. The last thing he registered, Alinka's quiet hum, half-tune, half-warding, harmonizing with the angry weather. Behind shuttered eyes and uncertain breathing, the ledger kept its own silent weight, and in the skeletal chairlifts overhead, a future waited, trembling between surrender and assent. Night drew back grudgingly as a colorless dawn seeped into the derelict ski lift station, that limning every warped bolt and cable in spectral light. Mark roused from fractured sleep, bandage at his flank taut and crusted with blood. Cold gnawed at the skin beneath his coat. Alinka stood by the battered doorway, hair tangled by wind, studying the cable cars overhead as each creaked in the updraft, a slow, hollow welcome to the impossible climb ahead. A hand-built radio squatted near their makeshift barricade, Danny's voice scratching through the static. "Extraction sites up the ridge, northeast face, old pump station. Avoid the lower pass, they're sweeping with dogs." Then silence. Mark tapped the receiver's edge, but nothing returned but the hiss of snow flurrying against glass. No fallback remained, only the line overhead, the gray teeth of mountain, and time running thin. Alinka's voice cut through the hush, focus pressed flat. "We move now! Another hour, and they'll pin us here!" Mark forced himself upright. Pain cleaved his ribs, but he ground it down. The wound was clean, but fever pressed at the edges. Motion was all that kept it distant. She steadied him, fingers quick and impersonal, and together they crossed the slush-scarred concrete to the lift's ancient console. The lever stuck, seized from years of mountain weather, but with both their weight it grudged backward. Gears howled, cables jerked taut, and a single battered cabin rumbled down the line. They boarded, clanging the door behind as wind rushed in, breathing frost along their collars. Mark jostled the main breaker. The cabin lurched, then settled, swaying over the drop, cable singing as it dragged them upward between towers. Below, the valley sprawled in blue shadow, roads already bristling with movement, militia jeeps, crawling trucks, patches of men in dark coats freed from the grid of town to hunt in wider country. Mark kept to one window, scanning for any sign that their ascent had been marked, but nothing moved but the errant flares of headlamps on switchbacks. The radio stuttered. Danny's breathless murmur barely made it through. "They're on to the lift. Picking up two encrypted bands. Could be agency, could be local. Keep heads low." Just as quickly, he was gone. A sharp crack as shots smacked the undercarriage. Alinka dragged Mark down, both pressed against the cold aluminum. Through the mesh, they caught silhouettes moving in concert along a washed-out service road, rifles drawn, muzzle flashes stitched in silver. Each round pinged the shell, a metallic snarl, but distance blunted their angles. The cabin swung higher, bullet trajectories flattening useless against sky. Alinka kept her pistol braced but never fired, her expression gone gray and distant, jaw set against what she could not control. Mark coaxed the speed lever forward. The cable car moaned, engines straining, each tower passed like a tally ticked off against the odds. When another shot clipped the window frame, glass sprinkled his lap. He shook it away, adrenaline burning cold. "Almost clear," he muttered, whether reassuring her or himself lost in the moment. They climbed. Sunlight broke through the clouds to paint iced pines in burnished gold, beauty so sudden it stung. For a breath, the world hushed, and then with a mechanical cough, the cabin lurched, jerked, and stopped dead, dangling mid-span. Gears died to silence. The wind battered them, slanting hard through the seams. Ilinka yanked at the control panel. Fuses blackened, wires gnawed bare. Cut from the base! Either sabotage or grid collapse! Manuals jammed. She rocked on her heels, sizing options. We climb, or wait for a miracle. Mark blinked sweat from his brow, ribs screaming at the thought of ascent. Before resolve could settle, Danny's voice scratched across the radio, fragmented but there. Overlap power. They're resetting. Stand by. Then a crack. Then nothing. Then, as if summoned by will alone, the cable car jolted and churned forward, sluggish, protesting every meter, but alive. Alincha laughed under her breath, disbelieving. Little bastard did it. They rode the rest in wary quiet, hearts coiled, the machinery's complaint loud as warning bells. At the summit, the landing platform hunched beneath snow and battered beams, its silence wary as a trap. They disembarked, pistols ready. No one waited. Only the whisper of wind and a scatter of footprints half devoured by drifting flakes. The last guests, or the first warning. Alincha nodded up a thin trail stitched into the rise. Radu's chapel isn't far. If the cartographer's real, this is where he'd show. Mark winced as he climbed, the wound grating at each step. The sun struggled to crest the clouds, the air electric with the threat of rotors behind the ridge. Each breath came thin, lungs raw in the cold. Finally, they found the chapel. Squat, stone, roof sagging with weight of years, door carved and worn. Ilinka tested the handle. Unlocked. They slipped into a space thick with wax and wood smoke. At the stove, Father Radu stood, gaunt and sunburnt, eyes hollow from nights of keeping watch. Another man straightened behind him. Slim, the calm of a bureaucrat, but none of its comfort. In his grip, a battered satchel and the posture of someone who'd spent years waiting for rooms like this. "You made it," Radu said, voice quiet as a benediction. He took in Mark's pallor and bloody shirt, a flicker of concern dimming his guarded manner. "God's given you every trial in the book." Ilinka kept her coat on, gaze wary. "You weren't supposed to climb so soon, Father." The other figure stepped forward, offering a dry smile. "Call me cartographer. I came here because your ledger is a puzzle, and the world's safest roads run parallel to its answers." Mark's jaw set, but he handed the folder over. Ilinka's nod was a grim confirmation. Cartographer's fingers played over the pages with practiced care, flipping, cross-referencing, tracing lines in pencil. The candle Radu lit threw long shadows, the only light that dared fill the room. At last, cartographer paused at the ledger's final page. "Encrypted in two layers. This piece traces border shifts. The other, here, tags an authorization. Burn order's origin code, cross-linked. You want it plain, or spare yourself the bald truth." Mark's answer was low and hoarse. "Name it." The cartographer's pencil moved with surety, lines falling into meaning. "Your handler, Romanian desk, codename Redwood. His real name's Miles Jacobson. He got the memo to string you along while issuing your obituary. He filed the order himself, framing your mission as a turn, then clipped you from both sides." Local law after the agency, suits after the uniforms. Mark's lips pulled tight, pain eclipsed by the strange emptiness old friendship could become. "Miles," he said, remembering cups banged together in tourist bars, shallow reassurances, the crinkle of shared secrets. It felt like a loss measured twice, years back and now again. Ilinka's expression went sharp, mouth drawn in. "Trust is always the expensive coin," she said almost softly. Radu laid a hand on Mark's shoulder. It grounded more than it soothed. In war, betrayals become folk tales. The price is remembering any part of yourself that isn't shaped by another man's orders. For a while, no one spoke. The stove's fire cracked, a funeral bell in miniature. The cartographer slid the ledger toward Mark, not forcing a bargain. "You could trade this, Redwood in the open," the operative said, eyes steady. "Or vanish with a secret nobody will protect for long. Borders choked, and the pass ahead is worse for company." He glanced at Ilinka, measuring hunger for escape and the want of clean records. "Whatever's owed, this ledger might buy it. My involvement ends short of a firefight." Ilinka took a slow breath, then looked toward Mark. "That crossing, snow bridge, storm's getting worse. After this, no more running." Radu fished a brass key from his coat, offering it to her. "Unlock the door to the north path. Stick to the reflector stakes. Someone's still watching you, but I'll draw eyes my direction if I can." He drew something from his pocket, pressed it into Mark's hand, a wooden cross worn with age, the only benediction he dared. They left the warmth, wind flinging grit and frozen spray at their faces, sun a pale coin behind steel clouds. Alinka led, Mark close behind, every step banking on the ledger's weight and the hope that secrets could still be bartered. Radu trailed for a time and then peeled off into a stand of pines, his shape swallowed by whipping snow. Cartographer's silhouette lingered, blending into the gray, a shadow with his own bargains. The trail zigzagged upward, boots crunching through drift and scree. Rotor thrum sounded distant, but growing, as if fate itself beat above the clouds. They crested a narrows where the world fell away into a canyon walled by blue ice and black stone. The snow bridge shimmered, improbably arched, almost weightless in the morning light. Alinka eyed the span, then Mark's shaking hands. "We cross now, or we risk never getting the chance," she said, voice raw but steady. Mark nodded, feeling the ledger dig against his ribs, the one inescapable proof of what he'd been and what it now cost. He set his boot on the ice, feeling the tremor ripple through him and down into the hollow below. Alinka followed, eyes locked ahead, the wind clawing at their coats as the sky painted with helicopter blades, storm gathering behind. The bridge gave and flexed beneath Mark's weight, each step converting his entire sense of self into the hard reckoning of boot on ice, lungs aching, vision streaming in the shrieking wind. Helicopter blades pulsed beyond the saddle, distant but coiling nearer, while Alinka edged ahead, muscles locked against the cathedral hush of the abyss below. The span looked built of nothing but old faith and failed engineering. Beneath, darkness swallowed sound. One misjudged stride, and both history and future would vanish in powder and rock. Mark carried his wound like a fuse, each motion stoked raw, unwilling to let mortal pain end what memory and lies had not. Alinka paused mid-span, shoulders braced. She pressed a cracked wire to her frostbitten ear, brow creased, listening. Mark drew beside her, catching only shards of garbled static. She cut her gaze to him. Not fear, more a sentinel's fatigue.
"Danny's holding their comms for now, but they're almost here. If he drops the mask, we're flanked."
She started forward, Mark matching her stride. The far slope lifted past stunted fir sheared by wind. That way, shadows detached from snow. A trio in gray winter gear, rifles unshouldered with casual, precise economy. Alinka halted. Mark's hand drifted to his pistol, grip rigid with cold intention. The point man tugged off his balaclava, a narrow, angular face, eyes flat as slate.
"Congratulations," he said, Romanian clipped with American vowels. "Few make it across."
The stilled quality of his voice drew the open air tight as thread. The cartographer in flesh this time, no parchment, no rumor. "Thought you'd take your answers and go," Alinka said, wariness worn threadbare. That was the bargain. Cartographer's mouth moved in a line that almost earned the word smile. "Bargains. Redwood's men are close.
He's keen not just for you, Mark, but for the ledger you're sheltering. I was paid to sweep the tracks, so here I am."
He glanced past, scanning the rime-white ridge with practiced detachment. "Of course, Redwood's price rises, depending on which parts of the dossier you carry out. He's eager to see both you and the truth disappear." Boot crunches came from the timber, too uniform for locals. Another unit, four, maybe five, broke from the swirling snow, weapons held not quite loose. Their leader yanked off his goggles, features worn but unambiguous even under years. Redwood, jaw set, every syllable of Mark's old loyalty answered by resignation. He didn't outshout the wind. He didn't need to. "You were always too persistent, Mark. But this," a nod at the battered folder, "was never meant to end with you." Mark squinted through sleet.
"You framed me for defection. I held your secrets. Now you want silence paid in blood." Redwood's voice tasted of tired, bitter logic. "I needed a distraction. You played it well, but your usefulness ended last week. Hand over the ledger. Don't make this a spectacle."
Cartographer watched the two of them with cold interest. Hey, his own men wavering between allegiances. Alinka shifted, shivering. Not from cold. The figures arrayed in chessboard tension, the hunted, the handler, the broker. No single move ended it clean. Mark steadied himself, finding the line of iron in his voice.
"Redwood, you'll bury the agency along with me. Your leash isn't long enough for this storm. Do you really think Cartographer's loyal enough to deliver the kill and keep quiet?"
The moment hung. Redwood cut a look at Cartographer. "I know what I paid for. No more, no less." A bristle of radio chatter broke over the wind, heavy with interference. Alinka mouthed Donnie's code phrase. They're breaching the crest. They'll see you any minute. Cartographer's men tensed. Mark held the folder like a bomb. He bent, as if to lay it down, palming the embedded transponder Danny had built from looted parts, a last blinding beacon. He depressed the toggle. A sliver of red blinked once, barely registering against the snow. Above, rotor wash thundered. A larger helicopter crested the slope, searchlights scalding white over the ledge, rifle barrels slicked up. Redwood squad split for cover, cartographer ducked low. Mark and Alinka dove behind fractured stone, snow uprooted by wild gunfire. Voices tangled in three languages. An edge of panic, tight professional discipline fracturing under surprise. Alinka pulled Mark beside her, her muttered curses coaxing motion from muscles on the brink. Extraction bird or fresh shooters? Mark spat blood from split lip. Not Redwoods. Could be ours or another cutout. Either way, Danny got through. Hold on. Gunfire stuttered across pine and scree. Redwoods' barked commands bled discipline back into his team, who circled for shots at the descending helicopter. Cartographer snapped orders, his closest man dropping to a knee covering his exit. Suddenly, the radio at Mark's belt spat to life. Danny's voice, thread-thin but insistent. Push now! They can suppress, but not hold! The line's yours for 30 seconds max! Move! For a flicker, Mark let gratitude bloom. Danny never failed to find the frequency in the noise. With cover fire blossoming overhead, cartographer signaled a rush up the narrow goat track, gesturing Mark and Alinka to follow or be left. Alinka slid her pistol back into her coat and yanked Mark forward, boots skidding on scree and hardpan. The storm clawed at their faces. Mark's wound ached with every jolt. Halfway up, Redwood appeared in their periphery, expression peeled fragile, beyond all improvisation. He lifted his rifle, finger white on the trigger. Mark stared down the barrel of a life's accrued betrayals. You already wrote my obituary, Miles. Don't let the ledger outlive both of us. Redwood hesitated, just a heartbeat, eyes flicking to the folder, the blood on Mark's coat, the helicopter angling crosswise above. It was enough. One shot cracked the rock, whistling past. Cartographer's second returned fire, forcing Redwood to duck as Mark and Alinka crested the ridge. At the rim, cartographer seized the ledger, shoving a battered transceiver into Mark's palm. One shot at the code, Aston. Don't garble it. Nobody's in the mood for doubt. Mark's lips were wooden around the passphrase. 44 Delta, Orchard Tango, Black Horse. Silence, edged by rotor churn. The headset snapped alive, a flat, unaccented voice. Ident code received. Approach for retrieval. No sudden moves. Cartographer pulled several sheets free of the folder. Insurance, leverage, or both. Then shoved the rest back at Mark. We'll square debts elsewhere, he muttered, expression unreadable, and melted into the white with his wounded man while gunfire spat below. Alinka steadied Mark as they crashed through the wailing wind toward the waiting helicopter. Its side gun swept across the slope. The crew, lean and non-committal in surplus gear, ushered them inside. Clip bands rustled with nervous energy. The flight tech clamped the door and gave a perfunctory nod. You're clear. So far. The rotors surged as the craft spun away from the mountain. Within the dim, oil-smelling cabin, Mark collapsed on a litter. Gloves pressed gauze to his side. Alinka knelt by him, one hand warm against his jaw. Neither spoke. Beneath the drone of the engines, Mark heard the clutter of spent shell casings against metal, the scraped breath of men resigned to violence. Minutes passed like an age. The mountain shrank, then vanished behind bands of squalling snow. With a battered satchel wedged under his jacket, Mark kept an arm draped over the ledger's remains, as though possession alone could will meaning from its scarred pages. The city receded. Rumors faded. The helicopter settled on a windbroken airstrip ringed with orchard stumps and low gray barns. A line of Americans in mixed jackets received them. Torres at their head, fatigue burnt into his otherwise easy posture. Alinka hovered as they helped Mark down. Torres examined their battered shapes, the ledger offered openly. We can't promise amnesty, Mark, Torres said, eyes steady, but you bought yourself a trial worth the word. Can't promise freedom, Mark rasped, but I'll settle for a record set straight. Torres's mouth pulled into the shadow of a smile. Your testimony's just toxicity for Redwood. Play it right. He won't touch another ledger, not from inside or out. Alinka's tone cut through. We take the next plane.
Destination off book. Torres nodded. We're ghosts for tonight. When morning comes, the world's mess is yours. In the hangar's brittle warmth, Mark's bandage was reset. Alinka brooded by a cracked window, eyes tight on the shadowed orchard, perhaps guarding against ghosts, perhaps mourning a country she could never again walk unconcerned. Hours limped by. Rain peeled itself from the corrugated roof. Mark watched a radio on the workbench hiss and spit, memory dredging up Timișoara. 1,000 tiny repairs, that glimmer in Donnie's eyes. It pained him in ways he could not set to words, but Alinka's hand, when it found his, asked nothing but presence. The cargo plane roared to life just past noon. Mark took his place beside a stash of old crates, Alinka next to him, eyes glistening less with hope than a conscious willingness to believe in whatever future might be built on the other side of exile. As the plane shuddered down the iced runway, Mark discovered the jazz cassette still in his pocket. Stan Getz, unbroken through every crossing. Alinka offered her rusted headphones, an invitation as honest as any he'd known. Mark pressed play. The horn soared, rough, yearning, somewhere between lament and promise. Alinka rested her head against his shoulder. "What's next?" she whispered. He closed his eyes, let the music anchor him. A shack somewhere no one visits twice, radios that only hum with static, maybe a world where names mean nothing and nobody codes over your life. Alinka's reply came soft, warm over encroaching sleep. Good, let's drift then. And if we stop, no more hiding in windows mucked with yesterday's grime. He drew her close, settling into the ache of absolution. The music threaded the dim hold, air thick with exile and muted, tender courage. Outside, the horizon split in a surge of sunlight, but for the first time in years, Mark let himself look away. With the ledger clasped at his chest and the tape hissing sweet saxophone, he let the interval between tracks shape its own future, a silence neither hunted nor haunted, simply earned. The cassette spun on, the plane climbed. Somewhere beneath them, Redwood's networks buckled, and somewhere beyond, a boy tuned static into possibility. For now, Mark had only this, the battered music, the weight beside him, and the pale hush of a tomorrow unwritten. Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.